This is most certainly true. The Lamb of God, who was long foretold, has come to be our sacrifice. Jesus offered himself and graciously shed his blood in our place so that we could be forgiven. And now we have the assurance of life and glory with him forever in heaven. Join us to look to the Lamb through this sermon recently delivered at Grace.
Jesus' death brings us into his family and promises us life everlasting. The gospel according to John chapter 12, these words will also serve as the basis for today's sermon. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The Gospel of the Lord. You never see them, but you're glad that they are there. Law enforcement, snipers, and spotters line the tops of buildings along the motorcade route to ensure the safety of those in the motorcade and also anyone who might be gathered to watch the cars drive past. It's all on them. They're the ones that are in charge of peace and security in the area. They have to have a laser-like focus. They have to pay attention if they're daydreaming, if they aren't looking at the area that they've been assigned to secure. If they aren't attentive, bad things could happen. In our gospel today, we see some Greeks, some people who were converts to Judaism, who asked a question of one of Jesus' disciples. They had come to faith in the true God, and so were seeking to worship the true God the way that he desired to be worshipped, and that included coming to Jerusalem for the festivals. And so here it was time for the Passover. And so they were coming to worship with other true believers, celebrate the Passover. They got the ear of one of Jesus' disciples, and this is the request that they presented before him. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Does that request surprise you? Because it probably shouldn't. These were people who had come to faith in the true God, who were seeking to worship the true God, who were well versed in the promises that God had made to his people through his word. They were well aware of the Lord and his Messiah. And so they recognized. They recognized what the Passover was all about. They recognized who it was that it was pointing to. And so when they learned that Jesus was in Jerusalem at that very same time, it makes sense It lines up that they would ask to see Jesus. What doesn't line up, what doesn't make sense, is that these Greeks, these Gentiles, were the only ones asking that question. What doesn't line up is that they didn't have to line up, that they didn't have to wait at the end of the line because of everyone else, Jews and Gentiles alike, that were eager to gain some face time with their Savior. Jesus should have had preaching assignments that were standing room only. His classroom should have been sold out within minutes of tickets going on sale, but you know the truth. Yes, from time to time, Jesus gathered a bit of a crowd, though largely they were there for the wrong reason. You know the truth, that even in his own country, even God's chosen people really weren't that interested in seeing Jesus. What about you? Are you interested in seeing Jesus? And before you spit out the Sunday school answer that you know, I'm desperately hoping that you'll say, how about we look at the way you've answered that question with your life? Are you passionate about your time with Jesus? Or is it just another box that gets checked on a weekly to-do list? Do you go out of your way and intentionalize training your children to know and to see Jesus? Or are you just hoping that maybe they'll pick up some of the God stuff on the side? Do you vigorously defend your time with your Savior? Or do you allow other far less important things to crowd out your schedule and push out of the way your scheduled times with Jesus? Do you look daily to see your Savior? Do you respond to him in prayers at the same frequency, or are you content for your 3 or 4 visits with him a month? Like a law enforcement sniper, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to pay careful attention to him. We need to have laser-like focus on him all the time, or else bad things will happen. God tells us in his law that he demands that we give him 100% of our attention, that he has 100% of our eyes, 100% of our lives. Yet how easily we are distracted. How quickly we turn our attention to something else. So readily we follow the worldly ways and are distracted by their tempting allure. So quickly greed and selfishness become our way of life. So easily we're distracted and take our eyes off Jesus. We are ready to fix our eyes on someone else and their faults and failures. We are ready to fix our eyes on the things that we don't agree with or the things that we think are going wrong in this world, the things that we would do right if we were in charge. But we're not nearly as ready to just fix our eyes humbly on our Lord. Our eyes find plenty of things to fill our schedule, plenty of things that end up being self-serving interests, yet at the same time, we offer the boring and tired excuse, I don't have time to live for God. I don't have time to serve others. I don't have time to see Jesus. Jesus tells us pretty bluntly and clearly what that is. He says that's loving yourself. And he tells us what the sad consequences of self-love is. He says anyone who loves their life will lose it. You can't love yourself and Jesus. You can't serve yourself and him. We who just can't find the time to see Jesus ought to have him respond to us in the same way. Jesus ought to tell us that he doesn't have time for us. We who find plenty of other things to focus our attention on ought to have Jesus focus his attention on something and someone else. Jesus ought to turn his back on us and walk away and never look back. But Jesus gives us his time. That's why he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now that might sound like a self-serving declaration. It's time for everyone to look at me. It's time for everyone to give me glory. But Jesus tells us exactly how it is that the Son of Man is glorified. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus showed that he had the time to give to you. He gave you his time and so much more. He gave you his time as he left heaven and came to earth. He gave you his time spent in the womb of a virgin and in a bed of straw in Bethlehem. He gave you his time to be raised up as a toddler. Humbly, though God Almighty, he learned to walk and talk and live. He gave you his time as he put himself under the law of God, a law that you and I could never keep, a law that we desperately and miserably fail to keep every single day. Jesus gave you his time of perfect obedience so that when the Father looks at us, having exchanged our sin with his righteousness, that the Father could see in us only Jesus' perfection. Jesus gave us his time as he was willing to walk the way of the cross. He gave you his time and so much more as he was willing to endure all that went with carrying your sins and mine to Calvary. He was willing to suffer, willing to be rejected, willing to bleed and even die so that we could be forgiven. Jesus spoke of his own suffering and his upcoming passion when he said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus' singular focus in his life here on earth was the cross. He fixed his eyes on the prize that you and I are, and he never blinked. He never sat on the sideline for just a day so that he could recoup, so that he could tend to his own needs or wants or desires. He never lamented how unfair it was that feeble and frail sinners like us get peace while he endures the pain that should be ours. No, Jesus fixed his eyes on the cross and he fixed his heart on you and he marched. And he marched to that place outside Jerusalem, that place where his words came true and where the greatest of love was shown. There Jesus continued to fix his eyes on you, even when he closed his eyes, especially when he closed his eyes in death. He closed them for you. And then as a seed is buried into the ground and then springs forth into new life, your Savior Jesus was put into the tomb, and from there, 3 days later, he burst forth into life. Life for himself and life for you. Victory over death for his church. Through his glorious resurrection, the words came true. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. It's there that God's very first promise made to the very first sinners came true as Jesus crushed the devil's head. Christ Jesus saw you and loved you enough to live and to die for you, but it doesn't stop there. He sees you and loves you today, and he never will stop. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Christ Jesus draws us to himself. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He doesn't wait for us to be obedient enough to earn a place in God's family. He doesn't wait for us to earn his favor. No, he draws us, sinners though we are, he draws us to himself. He puts us in his protecting care. He offers us his warm embrace. And then he puts his spirit into our hearts to work faith. Faith to see what is happening there on the cross. Faith to understand and to believe in his love. Faith to trust in the promises of God. Promises that he's the fulfillment of. Promises of his protection, guidance, and care. Promises of everlasting life at his side in heaven. On our own, we could never see him for who he is. On our own, we could never offer Christ the worship that he deserves. On our own, we could never hear or understand the promises of God. On our own, we could never live. But in Jesus, all those things are true. And all those things are reality. In Christ, we are a new creation. And that means we have new opportunity. New opportunities to glorify God's name through our lives of obedience, through our eager service for those in need. Through Jesus, we have new opportunity to bring him thanks and praise. Every single day, we can show just how much we appreciate what God has done for us. Just how much we appreciate the help that he offered to helpless sinners like you and like me. Every day we can live for him, the one who lived for us. And then when our Savior, who gave us his time and so much more, the one who in the fullness of time came to be born our Savior, who when the hour had come fixed his eyes on the cross and there shed his blood to win the prize that you are, that I am, he has another day in mind. A glorious day when he will return to raise up those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, to gather together those who have life in his name, and to take us to our mansion in heaven. And it's there that what he has enabled for us here on earth will come to perfect fruition in the mansions of heaven. It's there that we will, with perfect vision, look to and live in Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace, to support the work that we do to proclaim the love of Jesus in Milwaukee and around the world, and to find our schedule of special worship services, please visit www.gracedowntown.org today, and we'd love to have you join us for worship sometime soon. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.